Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. Appreciate everybody who's here. Good to have those visiting with us. We're always glad to have everybody with us. You know, this past week I went to visit Gerald, and as you know, Gerald's 88 years of age, and I thought about him today with my lesson, and he broke a couple bones in his spine. And you know, anytime you do that at any age, he really can't move up or down, sideways, or anyway, and even he kind of laughs about it and yells when he tries to get comfortable. But we were talking, I said, you know, Gerald, you lived 88 years. Your body just gets, you know, just gets old. That's the way God made it. We're not supposed to be comfortable in this body, but we're going to get a new body. But when we do have this body, when I looked at him, I thought, boy, I'm so glad I can move my arms and my feet and do the things, you know, that I like to do. And that goes with our lesson this morning when we're going to talk about glorifying God in our bodies. While we're still young, and young is any age that you can move around, we've got to use our bodies in a way to glorify them, because one day we're going to be in a situation sometimes where we just can't move like we want to. We can't go to places that we need to go to, and we can't do some things. And so please remember Gerald in your prayers. He has a son and a daughter, and that's about all. And we've got Robert who comes here, and Janelle. Other than that, he doesn't have very many other people to think about and even pray for him. So please pray for him, and hopefully the pain will go away in a sense with the medicine that he's taken. He's going to be into an assisted living place, and so we'll get an address, and you can send him a card. He appreciates the cards. He has them laid out different times, and he always says, now who's this person? And then I'll say, well, where do they sit? And he always says this, do they sit near the old guy? That's Brother Bob who passed away, who was younger than him. He said, is he sitting near the old guy? And so he rearranges you according to where the old guy, Brother Bob, used to sit. I haven't told him Brother Bob passed away. I haven't told him that. But just leave him and remember him in your prayers. Okay, please stand now for the reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 15, talking about your body being the temple of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, and he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? You are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. And the congregation said, amen and amen. Please be seated. There's an old saying that goes like this. God gave you only one body, so use it wisely. Now that implies we need to take care of our physical bodies. We need to eat right, exercise, and get needed rest. Stay away from situations that you may harm your bodies. We tell those kids, don't play in the tree. Watch, don't fall out of the tree. Don't play in traffic. Those kind of things. Stay away from harmful situations. And spiritually now, we only get one physical body that our soul, our spirit is in. And we need to use the elements of our physical body to glorify God. To show the world. Remember, to glorify means to show. You're showing the world. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And as Christians, we're saying to the world, if you've watched me, then you know what Jesus is like. And in Isaiah 43 and verse 7, here's a great verse with regards to what we're talking about this morning. 43 and verse 7. Here's what it reads. 43 and in verse 7. Everyone, 43 verse 7, Isaiah, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I made him. Now that's important. Remember we talked about this. The idea of glorifying God. Why did God make us? What's your purpose here on earth? Well, in your womb, the Bible says, God's forming you. Now we understand conception and so forth, but inside the womb now, in a providential way, God is forming you. Now, why is he forming you and getting you together? So that when you're born, you can glorify God. You glorify him by saying thank you, but you're showing the world what God is like. They can't see God. And just like Jesus said, you know, you can't see the Father, but if you watch me, you can know what the Father's like. We can't show. Some people say, you know, if Jesus would just come to the end of my bed, then I'd obey. I can't tell you how many people have said that. If he would just tell me what to do, then I'd do it. If Jesus did. Well, that's not going to happen. But we can show people to the best of our abilities what Jesus is like. And that's why when we talk about today's lesson, you are bought with a price. Jesus died for all of us. What a price. What do we owe him? Glorify God now in your body and in your spirit. Doesn't mean to say, but the verse in your spirit, that's not in most translations. But it doesn't matter. The idea is that your whole body, your inside, your outside, your emotions, everything, you glorify God, which are God's. Your body is God's, and we'll mention that a little later. In the Old Testament now, God dwelt in the tabernacle. We talked about that before. He dwelt in the temple when the cloud and the fire, that was the presence of the Lord. Today, God does not dwell in any buildings or idols. A lot of people have the idea, well, like, you know, that the church building is holy in the sense that it's set apart. It can only be used for what God said. But your prayers are not heard any more in the church building than they are at home or in an open field. Your songs aren't any better here in the church building than they are in your car. The idea is God's presence is everywhere. He's not any more in here. Now, of course, the building may be a little bit more conducive. It's quieter. Maybe there's some pictures and things like that that might help you. But God doesn't dwell there anymore. He dwells in our bodies. In 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6, and in verse 16. Now, the idea of God dwelling in us, we'll talk about that. It's nothing miraculous, but the idea, he's in our body, so we're supposed to show what's in our body. And that's God. In 2 Corinthians now, 6 verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. Remember, the Old Testament, God's in the temple. Now he's in the temple, but we're the body. We're the temple now. Just like he said, I'm going to dwell in them. I'm going to walk among them. I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. The living God, the Bible says, lives in us, a living body. And our living body, this structure, this physical structure, that's decaying. And the older you get, the more it decays. While we have the chance, we're supposed to glorify him with all that we have. Our physical bodies belong to God. He gave them to us. That's what it says. They're God's. He gave them to us just for a short time. A vapor's time, we have a chance to glorify God. In Romans 14 and verse 8, here's what it says. Every part of your life, from your birth to your death, you're to glorify God. Romans 14, verse 8. If we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Whether therefore we live or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to God. We belong to God now. Get out there and go for it. A lot of times people say, you know, with our families, get out there now. And, you know, you represent our family. Don't give our family a bad name. You know, we say that. Or that person, because they did something, boy, they tarnished our family name. They might even tarnish the government. They could tarnish the country, all those kind of things. And God says this to us. Don't tarnish my name by not using your body in a godly way. That's what we're talking about. Because we're supposed to glorify God. So that goes to the verse we use in 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10. So, you have one body for a life. What should you do? 10:31 of 1 Corinthians. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, God says, I want you to glorify me. So that's what we're talking about this morning. Glorifying God in your body. Now, how do you do that? How do you glorify him in your body? Well, the first thing is, your body is your temple. And God's dwelling in you, and you've got to keep it pure. You've got to keep it clean. Your soul's in it. You've got to keep yourself pure. Now, the idea of purity means without defilement. It means it's not contaminated. It's not hypocritical. It's clean. You keep it as clean as you can. And whenever, just like, you know, you clean your room, it gets dirty, go clean your room. You know, the kid could say, I cleaned it 2 months ago. Yeah, but it's dirty in the last 2 months. And that's what God says. Keep your soul clean. Keep your body clean. Keep inspecting it. And then when it needs cleaning, clean it. Keep it clean. 1 Timothy 5:22. Here's what it reads. 1 Timothy 5:22. Here's what it says. Don't lay hands on anyone hastily. In other words, don't grab somebody. Don't fight. Don't get unnecessary arguments and so forth. Don't share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Act in a godly way. Act in a godly way. And in our reading in 1 Corinthians 6:18, it talked about flee sexual immorality. The idea of fornication and adultery, homosexuality, any sin that involves the moral decay of your body, you stay away from that. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus got upset because people were going in the temple, the money changers. Now, money changers were people who changed them. You brought, we'll put it in today's terms. You brought your American money in to get it changed to Italian money. And you're supposed to get $5 on a dollar or something, whatever it is. And they were shortchanging you. They were ripping people off, the money changers. So Jesus comes in and knocks over the tables. And again, the idea wasn't the money changers was bad to change money there. They needed money for sacrifices. You guys, you're corrupting. You're practicing evil things. My temple's not pure when you do those kind of things. And that's what the Lord says when we're involved in these kind of activities. God says, you're not keeping your body pure. You're not keeping it pure. Now, I thought, what's the best way to teach the idea of your body? Keeping it pure, I mean. Well, I thought about a song that the little kids sing. I sing it at every vacation Bible school. And I tell you what, we emphasize this to the kids. And we should. And the kids are good at it. Little Brighton, she's going to be 5 on Tuesday. She'll say, what are you watching? And she'll say, Daddy, it's a good show. So she knows a good and a bad show. She'll say, Daddy, it doesn't have any villains in it. No villains, no bad people that are going to hurt you. And then I'll say, well, what about this? Oh, they don't say no bad words. Okay, the idea is we're teaching them at a young age, there's certain things. You got to be careful. But what I think is interesting is we don't sing this song to adults, and adults are the ones I think have the worst trouble with it. And it's our song, Be Careful Little Eyes. Don't get excited, we're not going to sing it. We're just looking at the words. We ought to sing it. Adults ought to sing it once a week. Because they're the ones who have the most trouble with this. How about this? How do you keep it? You got to keep your eyes pure. Be careful what you see. There's a Father up above. He's looking down in love. And he's saying, what are you doing with my body that I gave you? Keep it pure. He says, look at good shows, holy things. Look at good TV shows, good entertainment. Even the old shows are getting worse. Disney shows now are getting worse. And so we got to look at good things. In Philippians 4 and in verse 8, this is what we look at. We look at things that are true, Philippians 4:8, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are virtuous, that have some kind of praise to the Lord. That's what we watch with our eyes. We tell the little kids what? Turn that stuff off. That's not a good show. Don't watch it. Or put away that magazine. It's not a good magazine. But when you do that with your eyes and you watch those things, you see, you're not keeping yourself pure. So be careful, little eyes. And then, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Why? There's a Father up above and he's saying, what are you listening to that stuff for? You're not keeping your body pure. You're not glorifying me. So you listen to good music, good literature, good speeches. You stay away from vulgar language, vulgar people, entertainment. Nothing bothers me more than when people say, when they hear people swearing, or they watch filthy shows, or they listen to people cuss. And here's what they say. It doesn't bother me. That's a terrible thing for a Christian to say. It ought to bother you when people sin. Oh, it doesn't bother me that there's a homosexual man. It does bother me in the TV show. I don't want to watch it. That's sin. And it should bother us, what we're listening to and what we're watching. Because we're supposed to watch things and listen to things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are virtuous, that are praiseworthy. And then you come to the next. Be careful. Little mouth, what you say. Why? The Father up above, He's looking down. Hey, you're defiling my body. You're not keeping it pure by what you're saying. So we can't have vulgar speech. We can't listen to people, as I said, that are involved in those things, out of activities. And as we had read, Brother Love just read a few moments ago, we got to read about and think about things that are pure and that are kind and that are tender-hearted to other people. So be careful, little mouth. Be careful. Look what it says next. Be careful, little hands. What you do? Be careful. Don't use them in an abrupt way. Don't use them to hurt somebody. The Father says, hey, what are you doing? I gave you two hands to help people, not to hurt people. Slapping people. Pushing people. Use your hands to open a door. Use your hands to do something good for somebody. Galatians 6 and verse 10, what does it tell us to do? Galatians 6 and in verse 10. Galatians 6 and in verse 10. Therefore, when we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. And so what are we going to do? We're going to do things that are pure, that are true, that are noble, that are just. That's what we're going to do. And finally, what are we going to do? We're going to be careful, little feet, where we go. Because the Father up above is looking down with love. He loves us. He said, hold it. I didn't give you feet to go to a place like that. I didn't give you feet to go over there and be mean to something. I gave you feet to go to church. I gave you feet to go help somebody. I gave you feet to help at home, to do some things at home. I give you your feet so you can be a good worker wherever you may be. In Philippians 3 and in verse 13. Now, we haven't done all those things in our life. We haven't used our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our hands and our feet like we should. Especially before we were Christians, we did some things that we're not proud of. We're ashamed of. But look what it says in Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We forgot those things. Now, we've asked for forgiveness, and we've had them washed away. Now you got to move ahead. You only get one body. Now you got to use it. That's why you got to stop every once in a while. We tell our children, you got to clean your room once a week. I tell you what, we got to clean our eyes up once a week. Our ears, our mouth. We're watching shows that are filthy. We're watching shows on TV. I hear people say, did you see this show? Dancing with the Stars. I've never watched it. I've just seen it on television when they advertise it. I've heard people talk about Dancing with the Stars. The girls wear dresses that are next to nothing. And the boys don't have shirts on. If that's not bad enough, this year they have a lesbian dancer and she's going to dance with another girl. I guess that's just the way the shows are getting. Not only are they immodest, now they're going to have something else. And what I'm trying to say is, that's not a good show. My eyes shouldn't be watching that stuff. My ears shouldn't be listening to that music. You see, we got to stop. You say, well, I never realized that. That's right. Stop and look. We're glorifying our God. And what's interesting about glorifying God is this is something that happens when it's just you and God. We're not talking about walking outside in front of everybody. This is you sitting all alone with God. That's integrity. When no one else knows, you turn it off. When no one else knows, you do good tidings for somebody. Your feet go someplace and do some things. You send a card. You send a text message just between you and God. That's using your hands and your feet in a way that glorifies God. You know, we only get one time to give a first impression. Only one time. You get one time to give one first impression, bodily. And usually that comes with how we dress. Do we dress in a way that shows, does my body, my dress, show that I glorify God? 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 8. 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 8. Here's what it reads. It starts off by talking about the seriousness of prayer. Now this is for men and women. 1 Peter 2 verse 8. I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Prayer. How important is prayer? Lift your hands. Pray. The seriousness of prayer. And now the same manner, the same seriousness, I want you to dress. Women, in modest apparel, with seriousness, moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness and good works. So it says, dress in a way, men and women, I think the principle is there, that shows the world, hey, I'm using my body to glorify God. I'm dressing in a way that shows everybody whose side I'm on. To show your body off to the world. That's not how God didn't give you a body to show the rest of the world. When Adam and Eve were both naked, it says they weren't ashamed because you have the marriage relationship. That's where you can show your body off. But not outside the marriage relationship. Use your body to glorify God. Don't glorify what the world says you should do. To glorify God, always remember, your body is a gift from God. It is. Sometimes when you hurt your leg and you got to wear a cast for a while, or you hurt your arm and you can't use it, man, you miss it so much. You miss it. I had a friend who lost his baby finger. Now, to me, it doesn't sound like... He told me it took him years to realize how to use his hand again. He just left and lost a few inches. He said he had to learn how to grab things different, even drive different. He said, man, I never realized how important that baby finger was. We need to realize, boy, what a body we have. You know, David lost his eyesight, one of his eyes. And when they told me I had glaucoma and I could see about 25% out of it and it could get worse, man, it brought tears in my eyes. Man, I don't want to lose my eyes. And that's why God said, then Paul, use your eyes for good things. Don't use them for rotten things. And then sometimes you get, oh boy, I tell you what, when I get my cast off, I'm going to be at church every day. Or I'm going to be going over here every day. That's right. That's when we start thinking about, well, it's a gift. What a beautiful gift we have. Let's use it to glorify God. Remember, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell within you. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't exactly know how they dwell, I mean, what they do. And they don't do anything miraculous because they don't teach you the word because we've got to have we have teaching and preaching and we send people around the world trying to teach the gospel. So it's not something miraculous. But they're in us. They're in us. Just like your family name. You know, sometimes your daddy will say to a boy, he goes up to college, hey, don't give our family a bad name. Well, you got something inside you. You got your family name. Don't give God's name a bad name. And when you do, you tell him you're sorry as quick as you can. We're told to let our light shine by glorifying God with your body. Today when we sing, what a great way to use your voice. When you open your Bible, what a great way to use your hands. When you say hi to everybody, give a hug, what a great way to use your body. That's what we're saying. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine. And then when you do that, show the world. Show the world. You get bad things out, put good things in. And finally, what do? You got to sacrifice your body. Look what it says in Romans 12, verse 1. Remember, we talked about the temple. The people would bring sacrifices to the temple. They bring the animals and so forth to the tabernacle, to the temple, and so forth, even before that. Romans 12 and verse 1 says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, there's certain things that you might say in your house. There's certain things that aren't allowed in your house. You might say, hey, if you go to Canada, you're not allowed to wear shoes in the house. That's just the rule. You can wear slippers, but you can't wear your shoes. At school, we'd always take our shoes off going into school once you got there. That's acceptable. That's just the rule. Hey, there's no cussing in my house. You might have some young boys come over, some girls, and even some friends, and they say a few words and say, hey, we don't say that in our house. We don't drink that in our house. Something like that. Here's what God says. There's certain things that are not acceptable in your body. I gave you a body. There's certain things that aren't acceptable. So don't do those things. And then there's things that are acceptable. You sacrifice. We come in here today to what? We're sacrificing to God, our bodies. We're using our voices. We're sacrificing them to God. We sacrificed our dollars and cents today even when we put them in the plate. That's a sacrifice. That's what our bodies are for. We're not here to have fun. We're not. The Bible doesn't teach you to come here to have fun. It says come here to glorify me. Now when you glorify him, guess what? He made you. You're going to have fun. And you're going to have enjoyable times. But that's why he made us. Our physical bodies are truly wondrous creations. He expects us to keep them in the best shape we can. Now, sometimes heredity comes, and if your parents ever had diabetes, the first thing they'll say to you, well, did your parents have diabetes? And the chances are it might run in your family. But you still try the best you can. There's no scientist who could ever or ever will produce anything like our bodies. Just look at your body and be amazed. And thank the Lord. Psalms 3 and in verse 3 reads like this. It says, But you, O Lord, you're a shield for me. You're my helper. You're my glory and the one who lifts up my head. You're my glory. And so how do we show God that you're my glory? We glorify him in all that we do. That's why. Glorify God in your body. That's part of our theme. We glorify him in the church. We glorify him in creation, God, and now with our bodies. When we act in such a way, someone said, hey, you must be a Christian. A lot of times at the checkout section, try this at the checkout counter. Sometimes if someone will be really nice, and they might even have a button that says something about Jesus on there. Or they're just extra nice people. When they're checking you out, say this to them. They'll be a little surprised. Say, hey, where do you go to church? And they'll look at you and they'll say, how do you know I go to church? I say, well, because you're so nice and you're so polite. If you don't go to church, you need to go to church. And sometimes they'll say, well, I do. I go to such and such a church. Or they say, you know, I did growing up. I said, see, you didn't forget. You need to start going to church. Then you might say, hey, why don't you come over here to the Brook Hill Church? I'll tell you this. This is where I go to church. I think you might like it. You see? Just ask them. People will notice. And people will notice when you too at work. When someone decides their life's so bad that they got to go back to church or go to the Lord or something, they're going to come to you. Not the guy who tells dirty jokes. Not to the person that dresses immodest. They're going to come to you and they're going to say, hey, do you know where I can get some help? I'm thinking about going to church. Can you recommend a church? And why? All they've seen is you glorifying God. How? In your body. By the way you spoke. By the kind things maybe you did with your hands and your feet. And the things that you listened to. How do you say thank you to God for the beautiful bodies we have? We use them properly because one day we're going to be like Gerald where we can't use it anymore. In a sense, to get around. We just need to be thankful for all that we have. And be ready to say thank you to the Lord by living a godly life. If you're not a Christian today, you haven't been glorifying God in your body. You need to be baptized as a believer for the forgiveness of your sins and then raised to start your new life. And then start glorifying God. And if you're a child of God and you have been glorifying, but you stop, turn off those bad shows. Stay away from those bad things. And start using your body now for good things. Tell the Lord, remember like Paul said, forget those things. Now move ahead and press forward to the prize of a heaven. Heaven's going to be a place for people who glorify God in lots of ways. And one of those ways is you glorify them in your body. If we can help anybody in any way to get their life right, we'd love to do it right now while we stand and sing.